is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hello and welcome to the Hoop Heads Podcast. It's Mike Lensing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel. And tonight, Jay, we are jumping on for an emergency Team USA out of the World Cup podcast. You were fortunate enough to be able to sit at your school and watch this game.
So I made sure that I got there early so I could watch the first half so I could sound knowledgeable, because it's the first time I was going to watch a game, and it's the last time I'm probably going to watch a FIBA World Cup game. I might watch the championship game because it's Sunday morning, so I might give it a watch, but it's abysmal. There's several things that I want to say. The first of which is Tom Thibodeau should never call another game in any kind of NBA basketball thing. Oh my gosh. I know it's 8 a.m. at our time, or it was 7 a.m. our time. I don't know what time it was in China, but it literally sounded like he just got out of bed. And
well, maybe it makes you appreciate the other announcers, some of the other guys that you enjoy. Well, Reggie Miller?
No.
Would you rather have Reggie Miller or Tom Thibodeau?
I probably would have rather had Reggie Miller.
All right, well, that doesn't speak well for Tom's announcing career.
As much as I complain about Jeff Van Gundy being whiny, I would have taken Jeff Van Gundy,
Does
too.
Does Tom Thibodeau need to be in the studio rather than play-by-play?
I think Tom Thibodeau needs to just take a break from basketball for a little bit and maybe get back into coaching. There might be a high school team that needs him somewhere.
All right, well.
I don't think he's the guy.
Fair enough. I didn't hear any of it, so I got no opinion there.
So the game itself, there were two things that I noticed that were glaringly obvious. One, they had no answer for Rudy Gobert pick and rolls either way. He was going up and setting screens for Fournier. Fournier would dribble, and then whoever was guarding Gobert had to make a choice. Am I going to stay with Gobert, or am I going to let Evan Fournier shoot a three-pointer? And unfortunately for Team USA, Evan Fournier shot the ball really well today. He looked really good. And then when they did show out, Gobert took it upon himself to score. I think Gobert ended with 21 points, Fournier ended with 22. And Frankie Smokes actually played a pretty good game today too. And I will say the one other thing that I noticed that France did really, really well tonight was we don't know how to handle a press, Mike. Three or four turnovers.
See a press in the NBA unless you know the Rick Pitino 1990, but, circa 1990.
But I'm not lying to you when I say they had a turnover. Literally, Kemba was bringing the ball up the court. They put pressure on him, and Kemba fell over because he didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to do. He fell over. They had a turnover. It was early in the game. Had to be mid-first quarter. And I just looked at him like, listen, if you can't break a press.
And are you saying the four Celtics on a World Cup team is not working out the way they
anticipated? I'm going to tell you right now, Mike, we're going to do our NBA previews at some point, but
you're down on the Celtics?
The Celtics are not in my top five.
Okay.
Top four, top five, Eastern Conference. That's fair. The fact that the top four Celtics all played in this and they were not, I mean, Kemba scored 10 points. He was 2 of 9 from the field today. You had Tatum's obviously hurt, so you can't hold that against him. You got
Marcus Smart was the third leading scorer on the team today. Come on, what do you want?
Yeah, he's gonna punch someone and get suspended, and then Jaylen Brown, like you said before when we were even recording, you said what is he, the fourth or the fifth best player on a championship team? Like he might not even, like you said, might not even be a starter. So I don't know. I'm down on the Celtics. I don't know. They might be more galvanized because Kyrie's gone, but I just don't see them being a team that I'd be scared to play in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, to me, this whole loss speaks to what we went back and talked about way before the tournament even started, and that is the quality of the roster. Now, it also says that if you look at the other rosters of these teams across the world, yeah, most of them can't field a team of all NBA players like we did. And so that's always the comparison of, oh, this team has six guys who have played in the NBA, or this team has four guys who are NBA players. Well, the United States has 12 guys who are NBA players. But you look at that roster and you look at who's played in big games, who's experienced, who's a guy that you can really count on to come through. I mean, nobody on this team has as good a resume as Gobert. I mean, he's probably the most accomplished player in that game today, despite the fact that some of those NBA guys have had solid careers, or they're very, very young and they've had a good, their careers off to a good start. But I just don't think that you look at that roster from 1 to 12, who's the guy that you can depend on? And I, you know, Mitchell
had a good game.
Mitchell had a good game today, but he had the game before, I think he had, what, 8 points, yeah, maybe something like that. And you look at his playoff history the last couple of years, he's kind of gotten bottled up by the Rockets both years in the playoffs when they needed him to come through.
Come on, it's that James Harden suffocating defense.
It is. It is. But still, you'd like to see more from Mitchell in the clutch. And again, he's going to be a third-year player this year in the NBA. And the rest of these guys, they're all solid pros. They're all good players. But collectively, you think about the types of teams that the United States has put on the floor since the Dream Team, and this team doesn't, you know, it compares much more to the teams when we were having trouble winning back in the early 2000s, as opposed to the teams once the LeBron, Wade, Carmelo group sort of took over whatever that was, 2004. Yep. Once that group kind of came in, then they turned the tide. And now the question becomes, just like we talked about before the World Cup, where do we go from here? Do all these stars come back next summer? Do all the big names come back and play in the Olympics next summer? Or are we in a situation where, again, we're going to end up sending a second-rate team?
The question is Space Jam 2 finished filming before the Olympics? That's the question, Mike.
Well, let's hope it's in post-production by then, because it could be trouble if none of those guys are going to play. And who knows? I mean, is LeBron going to play another Olympics? I would kind of doubt it, but you never know.
He did say he wanted to play for Pop, though. So I think I'm not, that could just be blowing smoke, but I give it a 50-50 shot of it happening, Mike.
Who's the linchpin guy that says if I play that a bunch of other guys are going to follow, or vice versa? If he says I'm not playing, a bunch of other guys who are stars are not going to play. Who's that guy in the league? I don't know. Is it LeBron? Does LeBron have that kind of pull cachet with other players where if he says I'm playing, a bunch of guys are going to follow him? It doesn't seem like it based on his ability to attract free agents.
I would guess that it's Steph or KD, but I don't know. KD's entirely not going to be in a position to play next summer, right? I mean, you're coming off an injury, and if you don't play in the NBA season, right, you're not going to put yourself in that position.
Yeah.
So I would say if there's anyone in that position, it would probably be Steph, right? Like,
you would have to think. I mean, we are obviously not privy to who is the behind the scenes, who's the most popular NBA player with other NBA players, who do they look to? But from the outside looking in,
it's not Kyrie.
Yeah, Steph's as good a candidate as anybody. But I think it's interesting. Would there be sort of that linchpin guy that would drive other players either to play or not play? So it's an interesting question going into next summer, whether or not Team USA will be able to attract the kind of players that's going to make it easy for us to win the gold medal, or whether we're going to have to field this team of guys that are borderline national team players based on the overall talent that we have here in this country.
All right,
in the NBA.
So I know you haven't really been following this, but if you had to pick a team based on the four that are left, Argentina, France, Spain, or Australia, who are you rooting for and why?
Who am I rooting for, or who do I think is going to win?
Are you rooting for any of them?
I don't really. I guess I wouldn't say I have a real rooting interest in any of those teams. There's nobody that I'm super invested in.
Who do you think is going to win then?
Well, based on the fact that they beat the U.S. today, I would guess I would say France. I think Gobert probably has now, without Jokic in the field anymore, without Giannis in the field anymore.
And that was the thing. When I saw that they lost, Serbia lost, I was like, oh, sweet. You know, we get past France, it's going to be I don't know, Argentina probably, they have what? They have Luis Scola. So I thought, you know, I'm going to say I'm picking Australia.
Okay.
I think Australia, and it's not just because Dele's on the team.
All right.
But I think, you know, they
trying to suck up to Liam Flynn, I think that's
no,
what
that's
doing.
Not it. But okay. No, Australia played pretty well against the U.S., and they've looked really good, and it's just fun to watch them play because I think they play a really good team game.
All right, well, I'm going to pick France. Again, I think Gobert has the best resume in terms of his NBA bona fides of anybody that's left in the tournament.
Dele has an NBA championship.
He does have an NBA championship, I'll give you that. But I think if I was starting a team, I would probably choose Gobert over Matthew Dellavedova if I had a choice. Well, Team USA has to regroup. I mean, I think USA basketball has to figure out what do we need to do between now and whenever training camp commences next summer to start working on convincing these guys that they need to play.
I know how that they can get LeBron to play.
How's that?
Bronny? Make a Taco Tuesday every day.
I put Bronny on the team.
He's not old enough, Mike. You have to be 18.
You do? You sure?
Maybe I'm wrong.
What about gymnastics? Those girls are like 11.
Oh, that's true.
Could be in the Olympics.
I don't know if Bronny's quite at the point.
Maybe we just start a campaign. Bronny 2020 Tokyo.
Return of the King and his son.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know. That could be a good strategy. Yeah. Now, I think Team USA has to regroup and figure out what they want to do. I think if you're the brain trust there, you got to figure out what selling points you can have, how you can go to these guys and try and convince them to play so that we don't end up with another situation where, you know, we end up losing the gold medal, which is entirely possible.
This is a question before. I did think I'd ask, Mike. If Carmelo's on the team, do they win today?
I don't know. At this point, I don't think Carmelo makes the difference. If you put Carmelo of 5 years ago, even though everybody seems to have completely discounted the quality of Carmelo's overall career, I think if you put 35 or 36-year-old Carmelo Anthony on this team, I don't think it makes a material difference.
I think he would have been some kind of
I guess he could have scored more than 4 points in 32 minutes like Harrison.
He might
Barnes.
Have taken 25 shots, but he would have scored.
Probably just, right. I don't think he makes a difference. I think the problem on that team is where do you generate, how do you generate offense, especially once Tatum went down. I think the Tatum injury
game over too when he got hurt?
That was the Greece game, right? Did he get hurt?
Yeah.
Did he get hurt against Greece?
Yeah, it was in like the last minute of the game.
Seems like it.
So why was he in the game?
Well, somebody had to be in.
Listen, as much as I like Mason Plumlee, but that's the point where I was worried, Mike, today when I texted you. Plumlee went in for a minute 10. I was like, Mike, Mason Plumlee just went in the game. This is not good.
It's not a good sign. No
offense, Mason, but...
It's not a good sign when Marcus Smart's your third leading scorer, and Marcus Smart does a lot of good things on the basketball floor, but scoring is not really his forte.
I will say Thibodeau had one good line. Brook Lopez comes into the game, and Thibodeau goes, oh, because Brook Lopez is in the game. Hopefully he can shoot the three ball better than he has the last few games.
Well, he was 2 for 16. Two for 16 before today.
Lopez comes into the game and immediately front irons 2 3-pointers, and Thibodeau goes, well, I guess that's not going to work.
Well, I think Lopez played what? He played 4 minutes, I think?
Oh, yeah.
I think he played four minutes.
Yeah.
I think Plumlee played a minute.
Plumlee played a minute and 10. Okay. Minute 10. And, let's see. Where is he? I don't even see him.
There he is. 4:31.
Lopez played 4 minutes and 31 seconds. Right. And in those 4 minutes and 31 seconds were his two front iron three-pointers.
All right. Well, again, I think that all these guys, it's a team made up of quality NBA starters for the most part.
Okay. Well, I got to say something here, Mike. So the three tallest guys on the team, they had Rudy Gobert. The three tallest guys on the team combined to play 15 minutes.
It's what we talked about before. The quality of the size on this team just wasn't good. And there's nothing anybody can do. I mean, the best players that we have in the country didn't play in this tournament, didn't play on this team. And so the guys that are left just aren't as good. I mean, that's just the reality. And so when you have your three big men are Lopez, Plumlee, and Miles Turner, you're going to struggle against a guy who's been an all-defensive team, first-teamer for the last several years. And every year he's gotten better on offense, and he's 7'4" or whatever he is, and, you know, super athletic and mobile. Yeah. They're going to struggle against a guy like that. So, again, this result isn't surprising. I don't think that either one of us really are surprised by the fact that they lost and didn't win the gold medal. I wouldn't have been surprised if they did win, but I'm not surprised that they lost. International basketball, these other countries continue to get better year in, year out. There's guys on these rosters that, you know, may never sniff an NBA floor, but they're very, very, very good. And they have the advantage of playing together for a lot longer. They have more time to compete together as a national team, whereas our team is thrown together in a couple weeks. And that maybe works when you have the best, you know, when you have 12 of the best 20 players in the world on your team. It doesn't work when you go down and you're basically taking average NBA players who are mid-level starters on teams and trying to put together a team that's going to run roughshod over the rest of the world. It's just not going to happen. You're going to have to still put our best out there. And you put our best out there and you give yourself a really good chance of winning the gold medal. You put a team of, again, fourth and fifth starters out there on the floor, and you know, it's just not going to, it's not going to be a cakewalk. And could they have won it? Sure. But the reality is they didn't. They lost today. And so they came up two wins short of what they were hoping to accomplish on their way out there. So it'll be interesting to see what USA Basketball does moving forward and what their strategy is to try to recruit some of these guys who are at the upper echelons of the NBA to come back in. And like I said, I don't know who that linchpin guy is, whether it's Steph, maybe it's LeBron. I don't know who it is, but will that linchpin guy make the decision to go and play, or will that linchpin guy make the decision to stay away? And then if he does stay away, then what kind of roster are we going to be able to put together for the Olympics? Yep. And it's hard to know. You know, I'd be interested in picking guys' brains to see how important an Olympic gold medal is to them in their career. And obviously some of these older guys who have played, LeBron has some gold medals, so it's not like one more. And he already has one, I guess is my point. So when you already have one, how motivated are you to get a third one in LeBron's case? So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I think that if you look at what's going to go on next summer, the key is going to be, what does the roster look like? And if the roster is filled with NBA All-Stars and some of the best players in the league, then the United States is going to be a prohibitive favorite. And if it's stacked with a roster like we have for the World Cup, you know, you're going to roll the dice. We're going to be right there with anybody
Zion,
else.
Zion, baby, he's going to be on there.
Maybe. Could have put Zion on the team this year.
You should have.
I mean, at least would have been more interesting to, you know, keep tabs on him, see how he was going to do.
You probably would have watched some then, right?
Maybe. If I could have got some access. Yes. It's all about access.
Man, I was trying to go a whole time without mentioning ESPN Plus.
It's all about access. All right. Well, unfortunately, the FIBA World Cup is over for the United States. Good luck to the teams that are left. And to everyone out there, we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.